Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Hard-edged, hard-nosed, hard to beat.
Where are you coming from in this one?
Your 100% essential download.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
You've let this get out of control.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. I'm Jim White, and today myself, Peterborough owner Darren McAntony, and Arsenal invincible Martin Keown reacted to a crazy night of Premier League action that saw Chelsea dramatically beat Manchester United 4-3 with two last gasp goals. Was it a result and performance that could spell the end for Erik ten Hag? Stay tuned to hear from one United fan who certainly thinks so. Meantime, the title race continues to heat up, with Liverpool still setting the pace. What will win out come May? City's know-how, the Klopp factor, or Arsenal's newfound mentality? Plus, Darren's Peterborough travel to Wembley this weekend to battle it out with Wickham for the EFL trophy. 10 years on from success in the same competition, can manager Darren Ferguson do it again? He joined us live on the show. This is Outspoken with White and Jordan. There's something quite unerring about introducing you, Dara, and then looking up and see you enjoying being introduced so much.
Play the drums.
You're such an enthusiast, my man.
Listen, don't upset Martin. He's already a bit jealous that I'm on here with you. I can see that in his voice this morning.
Well, he couldn't get a word in edgeways, I must admit. Well, and couldn't. You were trying manfully, Martin. I don't know if you realise, Martin, good morning, incidentally.
Yeah, very good morning. Yes,
good morning to you. Dara and I are now, well, he started it and I am now with him. We're worried about your diet. Eating enough.
I said to him this morning, he looks like he needs a good meal. Yeah. He looks like a cast member out of Walking Dead. And then he told me that he's a vegan. And then I was like, hang on, you're a vegan. He hasn't eaten meat in 4 years.
Really?
And that concerns me for an invincible. Well, not vegan, but you don't eat meat. So put you up there with a lot of vegans. So you and Dale Vince would be best friends. Then I found out it's his missus, the boss, who's made these rules.
No, I think she's right. I think she's 100%
she's
right.
Even brainwashed
and it was due to Wenger gave us this education that we weren't to eat meat.
Wenger
mostly
you know,
yeah.
Right.
Eat vegetables. Chew to win was the slogan. And we became very successful. So I adhered to that in my playing career, and I've stuck to that since I finished. I see nothing wrong with that.
I see.
I've recently been tested, and my blood levels, everything's fantastic. So
I'm not
concerned, I'm not sure why you
did they find a heart?
Oh, there's one in it. Don't worry about that.
Martin, you're looking good. The countdown is on to Sunday, EFL Trophy final. Your manager's joining us.
That's why Dara's in the country.
Yeah, he's playing that joke a second time. It didn't go down well the first time.
Darren Ferguson is joining
the gaffer's
us live.
The gaffer's on at 10:45, so I'll have to let you do your bit with him. You know, I don't upset him a couple of days before the big final. But
you'll need to throw your threepence worth in.
My family are arriving in on an airplane as we speak from the States, my kids and missus, so they're delighted to get a day off school today. So really looking forward to it.
Of course, it shouldn't be forgotten that Wickham Wanderers are there, of course, on Sunday, and they will do quite rightly everything in their power to stop you winning.
Oh, without a doubt, they'll try him, absolutely.
But you said to me earlier on, if your boys turn up and in the mood, difficult to play against.
We're a very good team, this year, the way we play. A lot of pace. We dominate the ball, most possession in the league, youngest team in the league. There's a lot of good things, but with young teams, you know, it doesn't always go to plan.
Yeah.
So if we're at it, we can beat anybody, and you know, we look forward to it. It's a big pitch, Wembley, and our game is based on width and pace. So let's see. Wickham are one of them teams who not easy to play against. We've never had a good time playing against them. Particularly this season, we played them recently and we changed formation and it all went wrong and we lost 5-2. And it was a bad day at the office. So it's going to be a hell of a game. Good game to watch.
Okay. All right. Darren Ferguson joining us. When is he joining us, Joe? About 10:45. Excellent. Not long now. Well, a young team turned up last night at Stamford Bridge and it was a home team. Chelsea looked like they were going to lose to Manchester United and then what a finish at the end. So two goals up to 3-2 down to winning 4-3 after 101 minutes. Was this a night that saw Chelsea's billion-pound bottle jobs come of age? Who called them billion-pound bottle jobs? The man, Mr. Neville, of course, the mayor of Manchester. Pochettino thrilled at the end.
I think it was amazing because overall, I think we deserve. We were better team today, and was fair a score on the last minute. We were talking and saying to our player, still 2 minutes, 2 minutes. Believe that we can score the winning goal, and yes, so happy because on the end was of course emotional because you know win the game like this, 3 points for us really important because it was a must-win game.
Mauricio Pochettino delighted that his fellas got the points at the end of it. Martin, what was your take on it?
Did Chelsea
go and grab that win or did United throw it to
well,
them?
Well, both really. I mean, it's just interesting. When I'm watching Manchester United, I look at the... I'm just wondering what the priority is because we just heard earlier about the manager saying he thought it was a great performance, we suffered because of individual mistakes. They don't play as a team at all. There's no priority to be a team. The defensive brain doesn't exist. When I watch them, I'd be thinking, well, if I could go put my boots back on and go back again, and Man United fans wouldn't want me to play for Man United, you know that. But I'd step out there and think, can I have some protection, please? Nobody wants to defend. You're just completely exposed. And Chelsea, do you know what? Chelsea aren't much better in terms of the way that they do it, but they have Cole Palmer on the pitch. He was just icy cool and was always going to do something. Mm. But even the last goal they concede, Jim, the basics, I mean, they're able to take a short corner and then Palmer's got all that kind of space to run into. I couldn't at times believe what I was watching. And Ten Hag afterwards, he's never kind of like on it. When we look at Klopp and we think, you know, about to lose him, what a fantastic manager. He nails everything afterwards. He's in touch with his team. Mm. He's every step of the way. Manchester United don't know how to press as a group. They try to do it, but then teams play through them so easily. So in the end, you had this, and I don't like to say it because it's football, it's not basketball, but you have this end-to-end game, which is incredible to watch. We have a 4-3 finish, and it could have been anything. It could have been 7-8.
Yes,
It was like an unbelievable game to watch. But, Jim, the basics are not in place. Now, there's enough coaches sitting there, Steve McLaren sitting there, open your mouth and make them more organised and much more difficult to beat. And if they're not, Liverpool will get their revenge at the weekend because they knocked them out of the FA Cup. Mm. But Man United are capable. They are capable. You can't keep relying on an individual brilliance.
I know what you mean about
Ten
Hag.
You need a team that functions together.
Well, even when you hear Ten Hag post-match, you think, Dara, did he really appreciate what just happened? Have a listen.
It was for the neutral fan. It was an amazing game. A fantastic football game with a lot of tempo, a lot of quality. And I think especially Manchester United dominated the game. But we make high individual errors what cost us the game. And then you are very disappointed, you are frustrated and you are even mad with each other. We can't make such individual errors and we have to learn from it. But actually when you are a player of Man United, you already should know how to deal with this circumstance, how you deal with stoppage time, how you deal to bring a win over the line. So in 5 days, we're dropping 5 points. Mm-hmm. And that is unacceptable. And we should have a higher standard. And we want to compete for Champions League football, but you can't compete when you control, dominating a game, winning a game, and then you give it away.
Not for the first time, Dara. He's saying, you know, that was unacceptable. The bad news for him is that Sir Jim Ratcliffe, sitting watching on, probably thought the same thing. Are his days numbered?
It's 2 years now with the most unpredictable team you could watch. I watched Brentford absolutely batter them and should have won that game comfortably. I watched Liverpool batter them but lose the game 4-3. And you put it down to fatigue with Liverpool games, extra time, whatever else. You don't know who's going to show up. You don't know what Man United is going to show up. The first half last night, it was the side that were getting battered by Brentford or 2-0 down. in the second half as the side that scored all the goals against Liverpool. And then again, going into injury time, you're back to the United you've known recently. So that after 2 years is unacceptable. Particularly, and you can slag the owners off for not supporting a manager, but you still spent hundreds of millions of pounds. So after spending that kind of money to be an unpredictable football team, the stature of Man United is unacceptable.
So when we continue to say it's unacceptable, will it not ever work under Ten Hag?
I watched them style-wise and everything else. Not for me, but that's just my own personal. And that's not just me as a Liverpool fan or whatever else. I'm a fan of football. And I'd rather talk about Chelsea, because I actually, as opposed to everyone who wants to slag Chelsea off and call them bottle jobs and everything else, I like the project. I've been saying this on the HardTruthFootball.com podcast,
which is very
of mine,
good.
Which is very good, and Martin's a big fan.
I like
what they're doing at Chelsea, and I know they ripped up everything from before and they brought all these young players in. Last night was a big night in the project. I think this season they finish top six, they get to a cup, two cup finals if they can beat Man City in the FA Cup. I think they can build on that. If they added an Ivan Toney to their young squad, you could put money on them being top four next year.
I know I'm asking a fairly brutal question only at 10:15, Martin, but can Ten Hag last this?
One assumes not, though, Jim, really, because he doesn't seem to be able to see it, does he? You know, like when you think of the basics. So late in the game, it's 3-3, you're disappointed, there's a corner. And only Mason Mount, the only player in the box who is making any kind of effort, and he's not really been there too long. If you keep repeating the message to the group, they're on red alert, we get a corner. Where are my generals? Where are my leaders? Who's making decisions? That doesn't happen. You know? So the basics are not in place. He's too reliant on individuals. And it's classic in what he says afterwards. He doesn't understand the value of team. You have to... whenever Man United won anything, it was an unbelievable machine, a winning machine, not there now. There'll have to be changes.
Do you recognise this Manchester United team?
Not really. You know, it's like they're giving the team moments. You know, what about the ball, Anthony's ball? Fantastic, but that's your first assist of the season, for goodness sake. And we want to talk about it forever, like the ball of the season. And you know, the way that the players celebrate, Garnacho, get your backside off the advertising board and get back and get ready to defend, because the opposition have come at you. Now, people say the Arsenal players celebrate too much. But what are they doing? Everybody's celebrating that goal. I'm not having it. I want you back in position and you give me something defensively. Fantastic
Martin,
goal.
Do you fire him?
It's going to happen. I don't like to see anyone lose their job.
No, I get I don't you like to sit like, in defence, but be honest. If you own Man United, you watch that. Are you firing him?
It's inevitable, isn't it?
Yeah. If you're Sir Jim, are you firing him?
Yes.
Before the end of the season?
There's no point now. End of the season, there's changes. You're a new owner. You're coming in as the perfect time. So I would say yes, with all due respect to him. And look, he's a very successful manager previously and he did well in his first year. It's not even about that. It's looking at what the product is. It's looking at, you know, the money that's been spent, the players that have been brought in. Have they improved? Have the young players... And listen, the players he's brought through from the academy this season, brilliant. But look at Rashford. Look at all those things. I think a change is probably...
I'm going to put it out there to Manchester United fans listening. I mean, many of you probably not long back after a trip down to London. But where are you now with Ten Hag? Have you had enough? Darren McAntony has been a football club owner for 18 years and knows all about the pressures of owning a football club. Sir Jim Ratcliffe now, of course, has a minority stake in Manchester United. But of course, big decisions are there to be made and he'll be right in amongst those big decisions. Is the big decision now whether or not to carry on with Ten Hag come the end of this season?
Your 100% essential download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
We're talking about Manchester United, who at Stamford Bridge last night were 3-2 up and looked like pulling off what would have been a sensational result and left losers 4-3. And now, Dara, you've said to me in the commercial break there, it's tough answering a question like that. Do I think someone should stay or go? Mm. Is it time up? Is it not time up? You think now, yes, it is time up for Ten Hag.
Yeah, like I said, 2 years is a good, you know, they say, how much time does a new manager get? Well, when you're at one of the biggest clubs in the world, unfortunately, you don't get a lot of time. And you look at it and you're a new owner. And forget the results, forget the... And by the way, some of their fans are making the point they've had a lot of injuries. Absolutely correct. But as a Liverpool fan, we've had a lot of injuries to some of our key players and we're still competing for a title. And that's only because of our manager. That squad of Liverpool's, the only reason they're competing for a title is Jurgen Klopp. He's the factor.
Yeah.
Man United need that factor as a manager. I don't think they have it.
Well, Manchester United fans, get in touch in big numbers this morning. I mean, wow, I'm looking at the numbers coming in this morning. Rob's a big United fan. Manchester United have a team more than capable of good football. Like in any job, though, if you don't have a strong captain to control all of the individuals, it falls apart. We have not had a good captain in years. So many of you want through, so let's do it. Paul, good morning. First through, what do you want to say?
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Morning.
First, I want to ask you a question. Can any of you give me one reason why Erik ten Hag should not be sacked? Just one. Any of you, one reason.
Well, Dara, you've already said what you think. I think now he's clinging to his job, Paul, especially with Sir Jim watching last night. Martin, do you think it's almost time up, if it isn't already?
Well, look, I suppose they won a trophy. They got to the Champions League last year, but that was all last year. I've not seen the next progression. I'm not seeing the next step.
And yeah.
I just, you can't kid the Man United fans when you just roll up after every game and say they've been magnificent and individual mistakes have cost you. I think it's as clear as day that he won't be there beyond the end of the season.
So Martin says probably won't be there much longer after the end of this season. What is your take, Paul?
Well, I mean, people always say, well, he won a trophy, he won the Rumbelows Cup, whatever they call it these days, last season. But if you're going to make that as your argument, you can't then say that Manchester United are a big football club, because Nagelsmann wins the league at Bayern Munich, he's fired the next season. Mourinho wins the league at Madrid, he's fired the next season. Tuchel wins the quadruple, gets to a Champions League final at PSG, he's fired the next season. Xabi wins the league, he's fired the next season. Sarri wins the league at Juventus, he's fired the same season. At Manchester United, where Solskjaer wins nothing, gets 3 years. Ten Hag loses 17 games in a season, and people talk to me about the Rumbelows Cup. So you can't claim to be a big football club if you are still hanging on to that manager. And some of the things that he's done are unbelievable. He's presided over the worst ever defensive record by an English side in a Champions League group history, right? Conceding 15 goals, coming bottom of the group with Galatasaray and Copenhagen. He talks about standards all the time. He loses 7-0 to Liverpool. 7-0. And he plays the same team in the next game. Loses 6-0 to City. Right? He's conceded 59 shots since Saturday. 109 shots in four games. Right? And I'm reading you stats, which I don't like to do. I've got a few of them in front of me.
No, listen, you're well-armed, of course.
You have to understand the depth of it, right? We had an FA Cup final to stop our greatest rivals winning the treble. The most pathetic performance I've ever seen. Dumped out of the Europa League 3-0 by Seville. He makes our most ill-disciplined, moaning footballer the captain of Manchester United. He gets rid of our greatest ever player, banishes one for tweeting, whilst playing the Belfast clubbing PR baby in every game with no consequences for a consistently horrendous attitude. It is literally unbelievable. No patterns of play, no identity, orphaning game management, poor subs, has no effect on any game. He plays a system I've never seen in my life. He plays six attackers and four defenders. I've never seen that in the history of football.
Paul,
I've never
tell
seen
us
that.
How you really feel.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm going to tell you how I really feel. Because
go on then. Go on.
What I get annoyed about is I don't get the reluctance to say the guy should be sacked. I honestly don't get it. And I'm, even from, with respect to you guys, you can't say the words he should be sacked.
I just
and
said I it I, before you came I on air.
Fair enough. I guess I'm thinking of the ex Manchester United pros who are all the pundits and commentators these days, right? We've conceded the same goal 100 times.
So what should happen next, Paul, with Ten Hag? What should happen now?
What should happen right now? Well, United are not getting anywhere. But if you're going to talk about standards, then you lay the standards out. You have not been good enough. You go today. It's irrelevant whether he goes today or at the end of the season. It doesn't make any difference to us. It doesn't make any difference to the players. So set a standard as the club. You don't even get to the end of the season. This is unacceptable at Manchester United. You don't get to spend £450 million, spend £80 million on Anthony.
Paul, okay. I take on board everything. Who's the next manager for Manchester United? I know you want to do that. It's quite radical to do it right now. We've got a semi-final against Coventry, which I assume you're going to get to.
Well, you're putting an interim, presumably, until the end of the season.
You put in an interim. It doesn't matter who it is. You put in an interim at the end of the season. There's only a few games left. United are not going anywhere. They're not winning anything, right? But I've got an amazing thing to tell you about managers, right? It's not a marriage. It is not for life. You give a manager a target. You give him 6 months. If he reaches the target, he gets another 6 months, and then you can increase that by a year, 2 years, whatever. It doesn't matter who the next manager is because you're not marrying him. If he doesn't work, you push him out. Personally, I would bring Nagelsmann in every day of the week, including Monday to Sunday, although now I'm told that we've got leadership who thinks that Gareth Southgate is the answer to all these problems. But whatever it is, where we are now is unacceptable for any top club. And as I told you, the people who were fired at the beginning from top clubs, that is how top clubs behave. Stop pretending that you've got to give a guy more time. More time to do what? Finish what he started? What are we giving him more time for?
I doubt if there are many Manchester United fans listening this morning who fancy following your call after that. Paul, that was nothing short of spectacular. Thank you so much. Paul, a Manchester United fan, called in first, got on first, and more than said his bit.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Derek getting, quite rightly, well excited about what lies ahead on Sunday, because his football club, the club that he's owned for a number of years now, Peterborough United, heading to Wembley to take part in the EFL Trophy final. A trophy will be won on Sunday. Will it be Dallas Peterborough United or will it be Wycombe Wanderers? 10 years on from guiding Peterborough to victory in the EFL Trophy, I wonder if history will repeat itself once more for Darren Ferguson. Darren, of course, the Peterborough United manager. Darren, good morning to you.
Morning, Jim. You okay?
All good here. Thank you, my friend. I'm keeping your boss in check.
How are you, Gaffer?
How are you, Chairman?
I'm all right. You ready? You ready for Sunday?
I'm ready. I hope the players are.
I love it.
What is the mood, Darren? How do you feel going into this? What chance do you give yourselves?
Yeah, we're in a good place. You know, since we got through to the final, we've won 7 out of 9 games. We went and won 6 in the bounce, had a little bit of a blip, but then got an important win on Monday against Orient. So, yeah, we're in a good place. Everyone, touch wood, is fit. To have a really fully fit squad at this stage of the season is really, really important. So, we're looking forward to it.
I don't like to say it, but Peterborough haven't beaten Wickham in their last 5 in all competition. Are they a bit of a hoodoo side when it comes to playing them?
No, not really. I feel that whatever's gone on this season, it won't have an effect for the game on Sunday. We drew them at home 2-2, and then we lost 5-2 to them, and they played very well. They're a good team. But, you know, Sunday, I don't think those two games will have a bearing on Sunday.
The good thing is, Darren, Peterborough United love being at Wembley. You've won all 3 of the previous games at Wembley Stadium. That's the joint best 100% win record at the stadium, alongside the likes of Morecambe, Woking, Whitley Bay. When you go there, by and large, you succeed. So, I mean, again, that augurs well.
It does. But again, that's the history. We have to make sure that continues on Sunday. But my message to the players, and it's simple, you know, once you get to Wembley, just go there and win. You know, that's the most important thing. Yeah, you want a good performance. The last time we won, we didn't play very well, but we won. So the most important thing is just get there and get the game won if you can.
Darren, what is it about this relationship you've got with the man McAntony? I mean, this is your fourth spell as Peterborough manager. What's it? I know he's listening to our every word because he's he's tuned in like everybody else is. What is he like to work for?
Yeah, brilliant. We have a really good relationship, as you would have to have, given the fact that he keeps sacking me and then bringing me back, or the last time I left. But no, we've got a really, it's just that there's a real honesty to the relationship. So there's the good and the bad, you know, but it's honest conversations. Whereas I've had people before that, you know, it's not always that in football. You don't always get that. So there's a real honesty to us. And some things we don't want to hear from each other, but the honesty is the key, you know.
It's such a good marriage. You got to tell each other the truth, good or bad. We won't always agree. We just sometimes argue, but we'll kiss and make up. And, you know, and it's not always that way. You know, sometimes it's a bit rocky, but there's a mutual love and respect. And I think that's very important when you work with someone for a long period of time. You know, Gaff, we were just, you know, putting the Man United saga, the rights of the world there, you know, saying, did I need a new manager and whatever else? And nowadays, it's very difficult for a manager and an owner to have a relationship. Everything's now directors and boards. A lot of managers have that directness to an owner. Maybe that helps with our relationship that we're...
Tell us about Darren, because there are Peterborough fans listening. They're sending in messages now. Darren, they like the way you go about your business, mate, which is great to hear. Tell me about Darren's strengths.
His strengths are, no matter how bad something can happen, you lose a bad game or whatever else, he'll say, we'll win the next game. I know we're going to win this game. And you trust him and believe him because he believes that. He's not bull-essing you. You know, he's brilliant with young players, old players. He's been in the game now, I don't know, 17, 18 years like I have. But he still feels like a young manager. He can adapt. There's no manager who would have taken a team to the playoff semis last year, had the disaster at Sheffield Wednesday, would have come back from that in the summer, got rid of all his experienced players, now is the youngest team in the league, and plays the best football in the league.
Sure.
No manager would have done that unless it was our gaffer. Darren, I call him the GOAT in League One because he's obviously won so many promotions and done well.
Which is fair enough. I mean, you've been so successful, Darren, with Peterborough, and Peterborough United fans absolutely love you, Darren. I'm seeing messages coming in all the time. Darren, I've asked you before, and it seems almost inevitable to ask it, but I will. It must help being able to tap in at any time you like to the brain of the man who is regarded as the best club manager the world has ever seen.
Yeah, look, it's got his advantages. There's a pros and cons to everything, isn't there? And, you know, it's got his disadvantages, but it's certainly got his advantages. For me, obviously, I chat to him a lot, especially when I started off as a manager and certain, because there's certain things that you can go through all the courses you want, but there's things in football that, you know, you just won't have experienced before. But as you get more experience, you learn from things like that. And, you know, obviously I still speak to him. He watches all our games. You know, he watches all our games. But he sometimes forgets that we're a League One team. So I think they've played brilliant and he thinks they've played rubbish. So you have to get that over with him. It's not Premiership football.
Yeah. But
he's great to turn to. He's got a good relationship with the chairman and you know, he's coming with the rest of the family.
He's brilliant. So.
Oh, he's coming on Sunday, is he? Actually, more important than anything, Darren, how is he?
Yeah, he's really good. Really good. His horses are keeping him busy. So and they're doing quite well. So now he's really good.
Gaff, that tip on the weekend, didn't finish well, did it?
No, I wish I hadn't given you that one. Well, didn't even start well, never mind finish well. So anyway, he's really well.
Good.
He's good. Darren, here's Martin. Martin here. Darren, just wanted to ask you about Dara. And obviously you've been together a long time. And it seems to me that, I mean, because he's told me he's only just flown in, it seems to me that he gives you a lot of freedom because he obviously believes in you. Is that a strength of his, Dara, just to let you manage? And then obviously the business time of the season, maybe he gets involved a little bit more?
Well, certainly the business side is his domain and I don't really get too involved in that. Obviously, we'll have our recruitment meetings like we had this week. But yeah, he just lets me get on with it, you know, and I think when you see with the chairman, and a lot of people think he gets heavily involved and he's in the dressing room. He's not. He's never once been in my dressing room ever, or any of the managers. He doesn't get involved like that. But what he will do, he's got, you know, very good knowledge of the game. So I think he just lets you get on with it. He's always got an opinion, but it's a very honest one. And I think he's learned from his experiences as well. You know, when we first started off, it would be a little bit heated at times because we didn't know each other. But now, you know, respect. I think he's very good after defeats now. Sometimes, yeah, you know, it'll be a conversation where I might need picking up, and he's good in that aspect. But he does let you get on with it, absolutely, 100%.
We trust
Darren, he'll be in that dressing room if you guys win it on Sunday. Yeah, I'm absolutely sure of that. Darren, here's the thing. Darren, you were having a big budget meeting on Wednesday. Yep, yep. That's why you couldn't be joining us live. Sure. There was a lot of financial things to sort out.
Yeah, recruitment, budget.
What kind of things did you sort out that are going to be music to your manager's ears? Because we want the best for Darren.
That was great. We were talking Plan A Championship, Plan B League One. And the gaffer was like, well, you know, League One, I'm saying, obviously in League One, we'd have to sell probably these players to, you know, make up the deficit. You can't sell them players. You've got to weigh them in. You've got to give them long-term contracts. I said, I'm not Man United. I said, I'm not Russia. Yeah. So we're having, it's not a rook, but it's kind of like, and you could see the other seven people in the room, some of them have never been in the room before, and there's like this silence thinking, oh my God, this is an awkward moment.
Yeah.
But then we kick on and move on. That's just where we roll with the
punches. Of course. And Darren, you're not afraid to stand up for yourself. No. I'm quite sure of that. Darren, have you got your team in mind already? Do you know you're starting 11 on Sunday?
Yeah. Yeah, I know the team, and just got the final details to go through now, Jim. The players will know the team tomorrow. I think when you've got a game like this, there's no point in waiting. You know, I know my team. They'll be told tomorrow. We'll go through the final bits of set pieces and what have you, and then we'll go down tomorrow. We'll go around Wembley at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, have a look, soak it all in, and then try and go and enjoy it on Sunday.
I'm sure you will, mate. And what we're going to see from the off, because the importance of a cup final, the opening minutes in it, do you want to tell us how you're going to go about it early on, or Wickham ears might be listening?
Yeah, we won't change anything. We will not change a thing on Sunday in terms of, obviously there's certain tactical things because of the opposition may play different to the previous opposition. So there's things that we'll have to touch on. In terms of how we want to play, we won't change a thing. Look, it's a young group of players we've got, but I know they're ready. I think they'll thrive on this. I think they'll really enjoy it.
Your 100% essential download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Martin Keown gets his own way in this show. Now, every now and again, we've got to talk about Liverpool. We have to talk about... Did you hear him, Dara? We must start talking about... Now, that's fine because you're a Liverpool fan.
You know
fan,
what? He reads comments from the fans on the computer and he starts panicking. Martin is a pleaser.
I can't read a thing.
He likes to...
I haven't got anything to look at. You've got all the modules. In fact,
you're panicking
over
there.
I should be sitting where you're sitting, if truth was told, then I could actually see and
Jim,
take
is he jealous?
Up.
Is he jealous? Oh, I'm in the co-host seat.
Jealous doesn't exist anymore. It's a situation.
Don't tell him what I get paid.
We're looking into it. Right. Those that sit on this side of the studio next year will have, if okay. I'm still here, will have the computers that we
But let's talk Liverpool.
Yeah, we can share in the comments.
If I had a red card beside me, I'd be holding it up.
I watched it last night, Jim, yeah.
Yeah, I just know the Liverpool fans are sitting there and saying, never mind about Manchester United and all their plight and their problems. Look at us, top of the table. That's what.
Well, of course. Alexis McAllister, that wonder strike. Right, moves Liverpool 2 points clear of Arsenal and three ahead of reigning champions Manchester City with 8 league games left. So it really boils down to this. What is going to win out in the end in this title race? Will it be City know-how, the Klopp factor, or Arsenal's newfound mentality? The man Klopp has got his own take on it.
I didn't even know that I played tonight. No, absolutely. It's really not my subject. So how I always was, I expect them always to win. That's not possible when they play against each other, but now they don't do that anymore. So I expect them always to win. So it's just, it's not about that. We need to get our points in. We need to win our football games. The rest, I'm honestly not interested. I told you that one story years ago when I watched a game and wanted Leicester to win. Didn't happen. That was the last time that I did that. So that's when you learn from the past. So I'm just, when they play, my heart rate doesn't go up. I'm pretty sure when we lost at Arsenal, we were not favorites after that match day. So maybe rightly so or not, I don't know and I don't care.
And I get why, because to be quite honest, Martin, does it really come into it? Who's looking most likely? Liverpool's title destiny is quite simple. It's in their own hands. If they beat United, Palace, Fulham, Everton, West Ham, Tottenham, Villa and Wolves, done. Done deal. They've won it.
Of course. And then, you know, there's a little bit of pressure on them the last night. I thought McAllister, by the way, he's a top player, isn't he?
World class.
Just keeps producing, you know, his contributions at the end of the season have been magnificent.
Yeah.
Wonderful goal that he scored to settle it all down. There could have been a goal down, by the way. McAtee had a really good opportunity in the first 5 minutes. I think there was another opportunity just a bit after.
They weren't great.
Own goal from Conor Bradley, which got a little bit nervy, but then McAllister steps up. He has been really magnificent. And that midfield, actually, is really weighing in with goals. I didn't think they scored too many last year, and there's big changes in that area, so that's been important for Liverpool. Of course, Klopp will look at it. He knows he's talking like a manager who knows all he has to do is keep winning every game. That's it. It's in front of them. You look at what is up ahead, Manchester United. We've said maybe that's, you know, if it wasn't motivation enough when they went out of the FA Cup, as they did recently, surely that will get his players at it to go to Old Trafford and to win there. So that's a big game you look at. We, as pundits, we'll have a look and see what games will be difficult. They've got to go to away to West Ham. They've got to play Spurs at home. Everybody, all the other two that are there as well, they play Spurs, but they play away. They put them at home. So they are in the box seat. Every way you look at it, Klopp is in the box seat.
It's in their own hands.
100%. And you probably expect them to do it, but will they do it? I thought last night they might close the gap a little bit on the goals for.
Mm.
I saw that as an opportunity of perhaps five or six.
I said to you, didn't I, out there, if Man City played Sheffield United at their place, do you think that would have happened last night? So that's a credit to Klopp and the job he's done with this squad. It's a new midfield. What he's done since last year and last season, which wasn't great, is all down to him. That's where I'm concerned about next year, what happens next, you know, because Jurgen Klopp is the one who's kept us in
this. They didn't close that door, did they? So if they don't win at the weekend, Arsenal top on goal difference.
They don't keep clean sheets, enough clean sheets, but I can't criticise anything Liverpool are doing, because to be in a title race, any Liverpool fan, it's dreamland with this amount of games to go. I still think Man City will do it. I don't think Man City will drop another point from here on in. And as good as Liverpool have been, I look at the Everton and Man United games. Two places Klopp's had issues. You would say not his best win record at both of those games, away from home, I believe. They're the ones. We win those games, we win the league, in my opinion.
Right, right. It's down to that.
Yeah.
I mean, Martin, I know, am I right?
It's in Liverpool's hands.
Heart and head. Heart would love Arsenal. Head says City or Liverpool, does it?
In between that, we have got games, you know, look at Man City, we've got to play Real Madrid, home and away. Arsenal got to play Bayern Munich. Atalanta is what they're up against in the Europa League.
Yeah, but that's what they live for, isn't it? You want to be
if I'm looking at degree of difficulty, and I'm saying, okay, that is easier for Liverpool. Yeah. Now they deserve to be where they are. It's 100%. They deserve to be where they are. It's just about pulling that off, isn't it? But I do think it's quite an amazing change around, because if you look at Salah as the right playing as right wing, virtually everybody else is pretty new to it. In those other areas, those five other positions, the midfield three is new. You know, I know, okay, Diaz a little bit of experience, but not a great deal. Gakpo started to bang goals in. Nunes is contributing. McAllister, you know, everybody knew Jim what a wonderful talent he was. He proved that by being a World Cup winner.
Yeah,
and he slotted in beautifully.
I think he took his time to start with. But I mean, who wouldn't go into a club of that scale?
He was losing the ball a little bit, actually, wasn't he? Fabinho was a totally different player. Yeah. It was a change, was a sea change.
They were playing him a lot deeper as well, because they didn't have that traditional six, and it was till Endo got up to speed. And when Endo got up to speed and went into the six, they moved McAllister further forward, and his best football has coincided with that, even though last night, obviously, he was a bit deeper again. But he's controlling and dominating games. I know people say world-class, a word used too much. Mm. He's a World Cup
Fabinho
winner,
was
and he's showing
what
it.
I call an anchor man, a defensive man.
He was.
But McAllister going in there is a little bit of a difference. I think just they were so renowned for pressing, weren't they, Liverpool?
Yeah.
And I think this year they played a lot more football, but they still press very well.
I agree with you. It's going to be, nobody can predict what's going to happen. It's the beauty of our industry.
Oh, that's
I think
right.
It's going to go right to the end.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be amazing to have three teams can win the league? Has that ever happened where three teams on the final day are in it to win a title? And it changes three times. Can you imagine what that would be like?
Yeah. How much does the Klopp factor come into it, Martin, at the back of their minds now? We're now used to seeing it. Of course, Jurgen Klopp leaves Liverpool at the end of the season. Well, at times I pinch myself and I think, is that right? But it is right. How much does that come into it?
Well, his team building has been quite magnificent, hasn't it? that money that they used for Coutinho when they made all those acquisitions, Edison come in, Van Dijk, one after another, Salah, quite magnificent. We're now in that phase two. He's rebuilding again. What's remarkable, really, is he's now going to walk away from that team. I find that almost astonishing.
I can understand.
And he's running, maybe he's running out of gas, and maybe he was inspired to say, to be honest. And there is a great deal of honesty, isn't there, with him?
He's full in. He's full on.
Yeah, he kind of feels like I think if you had a son or, you know, that's playing football, you'd want it to be Klopp the manager. It's like a shared journey. He's there on their shoulder. Every step of the way. They're quite inspired, and they're in the moment, these players. And they're doing it because they're not going to get another moment with this manager. And I think it's making it definitive in what they do. It's like, okay, it's now or never. And that's really kind of like...
They've got nothing to lose.
Yeah. Makes so them final, more emphatic in
final,
front
of final season.
Do you know what, Dan? It's such an interesting issue you raised there. Mm-hmm. The Premier League title race has gone to the last day 9 times, but never involving three teams. Different teams.
How incredible will that be? We'll have another Aguero moment.
I mean, it's one heck of a
They'll have to bring
a
Martin
proposition.
Tyler. They'll have to bring him out all of retirement on Sky.
It's interesting, all three teams are at home. So what are we going to have?
I thought City are away. Arsenal and Liverpool are at home.
Wolves, it's Wolves for Liverpool.
Yep.
West Ham for Man City and Everton for
Arsenal.
But
West Ham away from Man City?
No.
Are they home? All three are at home?
I believe all three. We'll have that confirmed for you.
I thought one of them was away. But one of them is away.
Are you enjoying talking a lot about Liverpool at the moment, Mark? Because that deflects from any pressure on Arsenal.
No, not at all. I think Arsenal are enjoying the pressure this year. Yeah. I think they've gone the course last year. Maybe they didn't go well. But this year, you just see... I mean, the one for Arsenal, we're looking at Arsenal fixtures now suddenly. We're going to talk about them. But I think Brighton is a difficult one because they have not been very consistent at all this year. And they are a club that sells players. They've made £122 million profit last year. How about that? Fantastic, brilliant. Really, what they've done. And everyone in that dressing room will know a good performance against Arsenal maybe is a ticket out of there. I know you don't. Pitt and Brighton fans won't appreciate me saying it, but that is what's become a little bit of a stepping stone club.
I think that's insulting to the Brighton players in the club.
Well, is it? What McAllister is now offering at Liverpool.
Clauses, I get all of that, but I think to say that players play for Brighton, you know, against Arsenal to get a move, I think that's a little bit of elitist mentality from you as an Arsenal man.
No, I'm trying to give you an idea of what's in the mind of a player.
I don't need an education from you. I understand. I have my own players. I know how it works.
So what do you think they're thinking? And do your players this weekend in the cup final?
Well, I know
they're
my
in the
players.
Shop window, aren't
no,
they?
No. My players this weekend will be thinking of no. Well, listen, go buy a football club, then you can judge me about being naive. At the end of the day, my players will be thinking, can we win a trophy at the biggest stage of them all? If you think one of my players on Sunday are thinking about a move to Real Madrid or to whoever else in the Championship, you know nothing about owning players.
So they don't
owning
want,
a club.
You don't think they want to go and play in a
they
higher
level?
They
all want to play higher.
Are any of them capable of playing?
If you let me finish, I'll explain to you. What I'm telling you is, in one big game, Brighton, Arsenal, whatever else, if you're telling me those Brighton players are walking out against Arsenal in a title race, thinking about Chelsea coming in for them the next day or in the next window... No, during the season, Martin, of course, everyone wants to progress to big clubs. My players are the same.
But where is
what
the focus
I'm saying
this
is,
weekend?
I think you're being a tad bit disrespectful just to Brighton there. I think Brighton now are, for me, a top 7, top 8 club now in the Premier League. Not all of their players are going to end up playing for Chelsea and Arsenal and Liverpool. I think it's a well-run football club. It's not a middle-of-the-road club. It's not a club that's 200 relegation. And I don't think every player that goes to Brighton...
I actually feel they should be admired. But what I'm saying to you, I'm trying to give you... I'm here for my insight as a former player.
Sure.
And a former player will know the focus is on that Arsenal game this weekend. And I tell you what, if I have a good performance and my contract is not really certain, I've already got a clause saying that there's a limit on what a club will pay for me, and it seems evidence of this with some of the Brighton players. McAllister's fee was fixed before the last World Cup. Mm. So look, how many others are like that? A good performance against Arsenal puts me in the shop window.
Can I ask you a serious question?
Next year.
Can I ask you a serious question? Ferguson, the striker of Brighton that everyone loves, do you think if he has a stinker against Arsenal this weekend, somebody won't buy him in the summer if he's available for 100 million?
I think he's gone off the boil.
No, but do you think if he had a stinker, it would affect that?
No, but I think the player feels, with the insecurities that they have, I'll tell you what though, I can reinforce that belief in me again because it slipped away a little bit, but if I do well against Arsenal, I'm back in the shop window. That's
understand
how
understand your argument. He's a young player.
Almost predictably, there are a few messages coming in, Martin. I'll select one. Tottenham against Arsenal. That's where Arsenal lose the title, Mr. Keown.
Mm. Your 100% essential download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts from. We're back next week to bring you the best of the show.
Hi.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.